Good morning, everybody. We're glad that you are here today. An extra hour of sleep and all that extra candy from yesterday. We are abuzz with excitement. I am glad that you are here. We made it to November, so we're getting there. It's all it's working its way back, huh? All right, well, I'm going to start this morning in Psalm 22. It is so good to get together, and around us, so many things are going on. This week, this country has an election for leadership. There is a lot of discord going on. The COVID cases are on the rise again, so that will affect how we do some things and how some businesses and some places act, since the cases are on the rise. So as we come together this morning, I wanted us to be reminded and to focus on God's lordship, on His command and control. In Psalm 22, starting in verse 27, psalmist writes, "All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and He rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before Him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve Him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim His righteousness to a people yet unborn, that He has done it." When we are tempted to look around and think, well, everything in the world is hopeless, everything in the world is going in a bad direction, or everything in the world is out of control, the psalmist reminds us that God is King. And alive or dead, everyone will recognize that. So our faith is made strong. We do not fear. We do not worry. We don't take a look at what's going on around us this week or this month or even this year and question the sovereignty of the Lord. He is King. He is King in all nations. All people are subject to Him. So, we shouldn't spend our time or our energy bringing up examples of, well, it doesn't look like God is King here. Or how can God possibly be King when this is going on over here? Church, we just celebrate, we bow our knees, we turn our heads, we recognize, and we understand that the truth of eternity is the truth. What is temporary is passing. What will not stand before God is going away. So as we come together to offer our worship, to lift up our voices and our hearts and our souls in praise, we worship an eternal God. He is bigger than the conflict and the roiling going on down here. He is greater than the suffering and the confusion and the pain. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are so very grateful that You are above all things. We confess, Father, to ourselves, to one another, and to those around us that You alone are God. That You are the true King above all nations, above all people. Father, we submit ourselves to You and You alone. We understand that Yours is the only name that will last. That Yours is the only power that is eternal. And Father, we join with the psalmist this morning in understanding that alive or dead, that you rule all things. So Father, we ask this morning that our worship be alive, that our worship be true, that our hearts will be filled with your Spirit, with your love, with your truth. Search us, Father. Remove anything that is not of you. Remove anything that we have built that will not last into eternity. I pray, Father, this week that your people and each of us will be instruments of peace. I pray, Father, that no matter how loud the competing voices get in our world, in our nation, in our culture, I pray, Father, that we will continue to lift up your quiet, steady voice of truth. Father, we love you. We are grateful for the sacrifice of your Son, for the gift that you have given us in Jesus Christ. We are grateful for forgiveness of our sins, for having been washed clean and made holy to stand before you all of our days. We love you, we praise you, we exalt you, and we do all of this through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's stand and sing.
Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. Praise him, angels in the high. Sun and moon rejoice before him. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Hallelujah, amen.
Come on.
Scripture reading.
Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 10. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put in our heavenly dwellings, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked, for while we are still in this tent we groan, being burdened not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, or we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are good courage, and we would rather be away from the body than at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. We praise me. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for everybody being here. Thank you for everybody worshiping you. Please help everybody that is hurt, sick, and homeless. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Jesus, you were all to me. Why did you die? To claim their dark. gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the
As Tony said, we are preparing our minds for this communion with our Lord and with each other, the body. So as we do that, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. But whoever, therefore, eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Too often we think about this as just something we do on Sundays, and we forget that it's more than just a piece of bread or a small plastic cup of grape juice. And too often we try to make it fancy, and we forget that it has nothing to do with this, but everything to do with the sacrifice that God made. It's not about us, it's about what he has given us. And we do this as forgetting what it is. And we forget to make ourselves worthy beforehand. We forget to think about our past week or our upcoming week or the last 5 minutes on the drive over. And so Paul here is telling the Corinthians that this is all about Jesus' body. It's about Jesus' blood. And when we do it without that in mind, when we do it because we're hungry or because we're thirsty, we're drinking judgment on ourselves. So I just wanted to, I was doing some reading, and that's just something that came to my mind of too often we don't think about that, of the judgment that we might be drinking on ourselves, condemning ourselves to what we have gotten complacent in doing. And so as I pray, I want y'all to pray with me and think and search your hearts. Dear Lord, as we come together and we get this bread, this small symbol of salvation that you have given us, the symbol of the body of Christ that was hung on a tree, that he gave for us, the bread of life that you sent down to give us life everlasting. I pray, Lord, that we will do this in a manner that is worthy of you and worthy of that sacrifice. That we search ourselves and that we're honest with how we are and where we can be more like you, Lord. And that we give those up to you. I pray that we do this not just here on Sunday when we're together, but in every day and every minute of our lives, that we are constantly searching for your guidance on how we can be more like you and grow closer to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Who would bow with me again? Dear Lord, we come to you still remembering what this blood means, what this cup stands for. You told the Israelites to make sacrifices to cleanse their sins for the week or for the year. But you had a better plan in mind, Lord. For you came and you sent your Son to make the sacrifice first so that we wouldn't have to. And this blood is the blood that flowed from his side that cleanses us of all of our wrongdoings and that makes us white as snow. And that allows him to stand at your right side and to say when we are accused that we have him in us and that those accusations cannot be held against us, Lord. And we thank you for that. And as we take this cup, I pray that we will remember that throughout this day and this week. And we will live our lives with that in our forefront of our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. We also take collections, are part of our communion. We have a plate in the back if you would like to give that. We have one for the church and that's the ministry that we are doing here, as well as those overseas and in other countries of our missions. So don't forget, if you are planning on giving, those plates are in the back. I'm going to offer up a prayer real quick to bless that as well, though. Dear Lord, you have sent us into this world to go out and to spread the good news. You have sent us to spread your word and to be your mouths and your feet and your hands to those around us, to this community and to others. I pray that what is given here will help to further your kingdom, Lord. To help those here at Sunrise to have the means to do what they need to do. I pray that it will also help those that we support overseas, that they will receive this gift as a blessing from you, Lord, and that they will use it to further your kingdom. I also pray that we not only give from our pockets, I pray that we give from our hearts, that we give of ourselves, our bodies, and we take the step outside of our door, outside of our comforts, and we spread your gospel, and we spread your light to a world that is torn by hatred, by sickness, and that we will show them what true love is. Be with us as we go through this life, Lord. Help us to honor and glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning again, church. It's good to see you. And I wanted to say, I appreciate everybody coming out yesterday and just making our trunk or treat fun and safe for the kids. I think they had a good time. I'm not sure. I was just really impressed because this morning we have so many responsible parents who didn't let their kids eat the entire bag when they got home last night. So I was impressed and disappointed. But I think just one more announcement from that. I think Bill had about 10 hot dogs left over that he kept in his trunk overnight. So if you're hungry afterwards, just see Bill and he'll pop it for you and you can grab lunch. Right, about 10? Well, we appreciate him putting that together for us yesterday. Oh. We are going to continue in our study in the book of Ephesians. But church, let's remember, in the world around us, this week is going to be a pretty big week. It just is. Happy or not, good or bad, it's going to be a big week. And it's going to bring this country to a place. We are definitely coming to a place. So, one way or another. Keep your faith. Just remember that as big as the world makes things of the world's things are not the biggest things. If the world's focusing on it, if those without the Spirit of God are focusing on something, I'm pretty sure that's not what we should be focusing on. So just remember what your focus is. Remember who you belong to. Remember that the eternal kingdom of God is your kingdom. So don't get wrapped up in lesser kingdoms. Let's celebrate and live our eternal kingdom. Let's go to our Father in prayer and then we'll get in the Word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to read your scriptures together. We thank you for allowing us to remember the sacrifice of your Son in the meal. Father, to remember what Jesus has done for us and to know that we no longer need another sacrifice for sins, that blows our minds. And Father, to drink the cup of the new covenant and to know that we are forgiven. That when you look at us, you don't see our mistakes. That you, unlike us, you don't bring up our past. You don't rub our noses in the bad things that we have done. But when you see us covered by the precious blood of Jesus. We praise you and thank you for this. Father, we thank you for allowing us to sing songs of praise that waft up to your throne as a pleasing aroma. That fill our hearts with joy and remind us of how good you are. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be a part of the body, for allowing us to fellowship together in joy and peace and fun and encouragement. We love you, Lord. You have been so good to us. And we know that because you have secured our eternal future, that you always have plans to be so good to us. So I pray that today, as we look at your scriptures, as we look closer at Jesus, that we will truly walk close with you each day. That we will enjoy and experience being close to you in all things. Father, we love you. We love you. We trust you. And we ask for your mercy upon each of us, upon your church, upon this nation, upon the world. We know that we are your creation, that you care about us, that you love us. And so we pray, Lord, that you look kindly upon us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You know, from a very early age, and something that we can all relate to because we have experienced it so many times in our lives, is someone calling us to a specific behavior based upon our identity. That someone will use who we are to point out how we should be acting. Right? I mean, you did this with your kids, or you are doing this with your little kids. You don't want them to wet the bed, so you remind them that they're a big girl, right? You want them to stop crying, because big boys and girls don't cry right here, right now. And so from a very young age, we are taught that, oh, that's right, I am a big kid, I want to be a big kid, so I have to act a certain way. We do this as our kids get a little bit bigger maybe, and we say, hey, we are Christian, or we are a member of this family, and we do this. This is what we do. This is who we are. Or if we want to stop a negative behavior, we say, hey, look, we're Christians. We don't do that. We don't get involved in that activity. We don't allow ourselves to do those things. And you've probably heard it by now, and you probably said the same thing years ago, that, well, Mom, everybody else is doing it. All my friends are doing it. And so you had that discussion of, well, you are not all of your friends. I won't make you raise your hand. Has anyone resorted to jumping off the bridge analogy? Have you gone there? You know what I'm talking about. Oh, we get a little bit older. We get a little bit older and we get set in our ways, and maybe it's not those childish things that we run into anymore, but someone has to look at us, someone that knows us well, and reminds us, hey, you're a faithful spouse. And Christian husbands, Christian wives don't treat their spouses like that. I don't think you should speak to them like that. I don't think that you should treat them with such little respect. See, sometimes when we get older, we have fewer people in our lives that actually speak to us like that, don't we? We don't have people that just look at us and say, whoa, 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 that's not who you are. Which is why it's so important for us to come to the authority of Scripture, because at least we can all sit here together and say, okay, you know what? God is the only one that can tell me what to do. I'm an adult. That's right. You're a Christian adult. And yet, you're a child of God. And so we constantly sit at His knees. We constantly listen to His teaching. Because just like our kids make mistakes and continue to make mistakes, we do the same thing. We like to think of ourselves as somehow grown up or mature, but we make the same mistakes. Well, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians letter, and you remember we're talking about the five things that happen in the heavenly places, the five things that occur where God is, in His realm. And again, we would completely miss it if we thought that this was five things that are going to happen when we die and go to heaven. That's not what this is about. Okay? In the spiritual places, this is that place where God is. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of what God has done for us, He has made available our existence and our living in the place where God is. Now, it looks one way now, and it's going to look another way later. But we've got to figure out, what does that look like now? What effect does that make? So we come to number three, and he says in Ephesians 2:6, he says that we have been raised up with Christ and seated in the heavenly places. We have been. This is done. All right? This is not, okay, say nice things about me at my funeral, and then I'm going to get my harp and wings and I'm going to fly away. That's not what this is. The Apostle Paul looks at Christians and says, this is done. You have been raised up. Now, when were we raised up? In our baptism. That's why it's such a big deal. Because a spiritual death, burial, and resurrection has occurred in our lives while we are still walking and living and breathing. That has occurred for us so that we may join in Christ. He says, all right, now this is what has happened to you and this is who you are. And then a couple weeks ago we saw in chapter 4 verse 1 that since that connection is made, that he says, I therefore urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So basically, the Apostle Paul looks at the church and says, hey, this is who you are. You have been raised up with Christ. You are no longer the former you that you were before you became a Christian. You are now with Him. You are now a part of Him. You are now walking, living, breathing in His kingdom, in His spiritual realm, in the heavenly places. And then a couple chapters later, Paul basically looks at Christians and says, act like it. This is who you are. Act like it. Now, there's a long tradition. I mean, we didn't just pick this up. You were not the first parent that told your kid that they were, you know, a so-and-so, so they needed to act like it. And I'm not the first person to stand in front of believers and say, hey, church, we are Christians, we are followers of Jesus. We need to act like it. John the Baptist, the beginning of the gospel story, he comes and he's baptizing. And he's saying, hey, come repent, turn away from your old lives. And he baptizes, and he's baptizing hundreds, he's baptizing thousands. And they're all standing there and they're like, okay, now what? Right? Anybody ever come out of the water at their baptism and go, what now? Right? What do I do now? And he tells them, he says, well, now that you have turned away from your old life, you need to live lives that are in accord with righteousness. You need to do good things. Then he gives them a list. You can look at Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel. Jesus himself would do this. And I love how Jesus does it, because Jesus does it in a few different ways. But Jesus would encounter people in his ministry, and some of them were just outcasts. They were filled with sins. They were filled with sins, and he looks at them and he says, look, I forgive you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to forgive you. So now that you're forgiven, what does he tell them? They say, hey, well, we want to follow you. We want to go with you. We want to be a part of the pack. We want to join in. Let's go. Where are we going? He says, no, well, you need to go back to your town. You need to go back to your family. You need to share with them what has happened to you, and don't sin anymore. Don't sin anymore. Okay. All right. I believe it was Ben that read for us a couple weeks ago. We looked at the last chapter of Matthew's gospel, that Jesus looks at his followers as he's about to go back into heaven, and he says, hey, I want you to go into all the nations, and I want you to baptize and make disciples out of them. Then what happens? Then you teach them how to live. Now, 2,000 years later, we have somehow... And I say we, I mean the collective we, not just the souls in this room this morning, but the collective we, believers and unbelievers alike, have somehow taken this biblical example and gone, whoop. Because you have talked to people, or you may have been one of those people that say, okay, I need to clean up some things in my life, and then I'm going to become a Christian. I need to fix some things in my life, then I'm going to start following Jesus. You've heard this, haven't you? Uh-huh. Yes, we have. No, I can't get baptized now. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I can't come to the blood of Jesus. I've got to, you know, it's a DIY. I got to fix some things. I got to fix some things in my life before it's okay for me to stand up in front of the church and say, you know what? I want to be one of you. I want to be a follower of Jesus. That's heresy. It's a lie. Now, I know that all of us in here this morning, politely nodding our heads, are going, well, of course, Michael, we know that. We would never do that. And yet, we take the Lord's Supper, and we hear those words that Paul wrote for us, that Oren read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and you and I forget that the blood of the new covenant is our God looking at us covered in the blood of Jesus, and we still think what? Oh, I can't do that. I messed up this week. I can't tell somebody about Jesus because I haven't got it all figured out yet. I'm not perfect, so I can't talk to someone about Jesus. We fall in the same trap. We fall into the same trap. But we're going to grab on to this important truth this morning in three ways. Because you have been raised up and placed and seated at the heavenly places with Jesus Christ, we've got to walk a certain way. Luke read for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll turn back over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Luke did a fantastic job for us this morning. I appreciate it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the first thing that we need to walk in is we must walk in faith. We must walk in faith. Because you and I here today, we see and we touch things, we know things and we believe things about the spiritual places, about the heavenly places, about God that we have not seen. In fact, we're kind of, with our lives, if our life was a big table, we've kind of pushed all in, haven't we? We've kind of bet everything on the good news of Jesus. Everything that we have, I'm all in. I believe it. I trust it. I'm living by it. Lord, you better be there for me because, you know, I've kind of burned some bridges. I've kind of turned away from the things you told me to turn away from. And so Paul here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, we walk by faith, verse 7, not by sight. Our home is with God, yet right now we are still in the body. Now, this is not a mistake. This is not an afterthought. This is not God's plan gone awry to where we say, well, Lord, if it's all so good, or you've forgiven me, you've filled me with your Holy Spirit, but it's so rotten down here. Why am I still looking at injustice? Why am I still experiencing loss and pain and suffering? Why am I still a part of this human existence? If all your promises and all your love is so good and so powerful and so eternal, why is it so hard down here? And God says, because I need my people to walk by faith. Because that is what changes the world. That's what changes the world. Now, church, we've tried a whole bunch of different things, right? We've tried to have the fanciest arguments. Let's stand up and we'll debate those who don't believe. You ever tried to talk to somebody these days? Nobody listens to anybody. The words coming out of my mouth, the words coming out of their mouth, no one changes their mind. No one is convinced, right? Everybody's set. So what are they going to believe? What's going to turn them to Jesus? Well, exactly what God set in place is you and me walking by faith. Deciding that this world and all that's wrong with it are not going to determine how I'm going to treat the people around me. That what we see with our eyes, whether it's propped up or crumbling down, is not how we're going to act. Excellent. So what does our faith look like? Well, he says it right there in the next verse. Verse 8. Yes, we're of good courage. We're of good courage. We're courageous. Walking by faith, we are not scared. We're not cowering. We're not gathered together going, all right, Lord, please take all the badness away and come quickly because, ouch, it's uncomfortable down here. I'm tired. I want to go home. Guess what? You'll go home when he calls you home. Now we're back to that what? That, well, now what moment? Walk by faith. Live your life by faith. Live your life as though it's true. Okay. What does that look like? Well, it looks courageous. It looks courageous in verse 9. So whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. Church, this week I'm going to challenge you. Just one thing. You get one thing out of all this. I hope it's not just one thing. One thing. This week, every decision, please God. How can I please God today? How can I please God in this conversation? How can I please God in this interaction? How can I please God in this service? How can I please God while I'm shopping at Walmart? How can I please God when this person has come to me thinking, the world's on fire? How can I please God in everything that I do this week? That's my aim. That's my goal. That's all I want to do. Well, but I have a family to take care of. Excellent. How can I please God taking care of my family? Well, I got to go to work. Great. How can I please God at work this week? Huh. Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to walk by faith. And when they're all falling apart and they look at me and this smile on my face, and they're going to go, okay, you're either crazy or you know something I don't. And you say, you bet I do. You bet I do. And I'm walking by faith. I'm walking according to what God has said, not what's floating around in our culture these past few days. Okay, so what's that done for you? Well, I'm courageous. I'm not scared. I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. How can you not be worried about it? Don't you see? I do see. But see, the thing is, I'm called to live by something a little better than what I can see. I'm called to live by what I believe. It's starting to make sense, isn't it? Yeah, it is. So number one, we walk by faith. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, go down to verse 13. The second thing we're going to do is walk by the Spirit. We're going to walk by faith, and now we're going to walk by the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Just don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Instead, through love, serve each other. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by each other. Verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now skip down to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. All right. All right. We're going to walk by the Spirit. And walking by the Spirit means we no longer walk according to the flesh. This is the key for how Christians can say no to sin and temptation. But Michael, I'm struggling with this. Well, the flesh is struggling with that, but you are walking by the Spirit. Yeah, but okay, but the temptation's still there. I'm still struggling with fill in the blank. I'm still struggling with anger. I mean, we didn't read the list, but you know the list, right? The deeds of the flesh in verse 19, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. You know the list. You know what they look like, and you know the ones that you struggle with. Why are you struggling? Because in that battle between the Spirit and the flesh, you are not proclaiming in the name of Jesus Christ, the flesh in me is dead. And you're not keeping it dead. It's like you're living Halloween all year long. You're letting the zombies come back up and coming to get you. Let them be dead. The flesh is dead. We crucified the flesh. We now walk by the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. The things that God does, the gifts that He blesses us with, the things that He calls us to, that's who we are now. We walk by the Spirit. And someone's going to look at you and go, how do you do it? How do you live a life that's so good, that's so clean, that's so holy, that's so pure? How do you not have the same struggles as I do? Well, let me tell you, I had to put those things to die. I had to let them die. I had to put them to death. How do you put them to death? How do you kill those bad things that are trying to control you? How do you do that? Well, you see, I'm baptized. I died in Jesus Christ. And having been baptized with Him, I now am filled with His Spirit. I am now filled with God's desires for me, not just my desires to please myself. All those things, because, you know, I was running my own life for a long time and I wasn't doing a real good job of it. So when I heard about an alternative, I gave it a try. And this alternative is the Spirit of God. And now that I have the Spirit of God guiding my steps and walking filled with the Spirit, it's much easier to say no to those things of the flesh. Because those things of the flesh still try to get me. Those things of the flesh still try to pop up at a weak moment. But I can say, whoa, that's not me. That's not who I am. I have been raised up and seated in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ, so the flesh has no control over me. Now, can Christians still indulge in those things? Is it possible? Yes. You can allow the flesh to be brought back and creep into your life or even take over your life. But you don't have to. You don't have to. Because we walk by the Spirit. Number three. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We walk in the light. We walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we've heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we're lying to ourselves. We don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us anyway. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So number three. Number one, we're walking by faith. Number two, we're walking by the Spirit. Number three, in the heavenly places, having been raised and seated with Christ, we walk in the light because God is light. We walk in the light. The amazing thing that John points out here is not just forgiveness, but I think one of the greatest things that he points out here is our fellowship with each other. Our fellowship with each other. He says, if you walk in the light, you will have fellowship with each other. Now, this is kind of a bigger deal than we give it credit for. In fact, this is kind of a really big deal. Because this word fellowship, it's not you and I eating a hot dog and passing out candy at Trunk or Treat. It's not even you and I talking beforehand, hanging out in the parking lot. That's not fellowship. I mean, we like to call it fellowship. Fellowship is basically, it's when you hang out with your Christian family. Fellowship is not hanging out, okay? Fellowship is not, I now have this clean-cut social circle as opposed to, you know, those social circles that I have out there. That's not fellowship. Fellowship is made possible because our sins are forgiven. Fellowship is possible because you and I are those who live our lives in the light of God. Not hidden. Open. Bare. We have no shame. We have nothing to hide. That's fellowship. That's fellowship. When you have a relationship with someone else, with another believer in Christ, That I don't have to worry about, they better not see this part of me because they wouldn't like it. Or I better not reveal this too much of me. I didn't know that about them. And now I'm kind of, sour on them. Now, fellowship is not where we come together and we put on the smile and go, don't look too closely. Right? I'm not here for fruit inspection. I just want to sing some songs and praise Jesus and go on my way. No, we walk in the light together. And because we walk in the light together, true fellowship is possible. That means I can know you and you can know me. And our sins are forgiven. Fellowship and forgiveness go hand in hand. You can't have true fellowship without forgiveness. Because guess what? I'm going to hurt your feelings. You're going to do something that I don't approve of. And so we have to forgive one another. And when we know that we are forgiven, we can be close. If you're afraid of your sins or your past or how you acted yesterday or Thursday, you're not going to draw near to God. I let him down. So I'm just going to hang out over here. But when you know that your sins are forgiven, if you say, Lord, you know what? I am sorry. I'm sorry for that. That was not right. That's not me. That's not who I am. And it's not who I want to be. I love you and I thank you for forgiving my sins. And God says, I got you. It's forgiven. It's gone. It's good. Be here, okay? Because you being here is better than you hiding over there. The same way, church, with us. We are walking in the light. And we make a mistake with somebody. We say something wrong. We do something ugly. We come to each other and we say, you know what? I am sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I didn't mean to say that. I acted ugly. That's not me. And then we say, you know what? I forgive you. I forgive you. There is no animosity here. I'm not holding anything over your head. Because you know what? I make mistakes too. And so we can love each other. We can forgive each other. And that's what it means to have true fellowship in the light of God. It's all exposed. We're not walking around on eggshells going, oh, better not let them see that. But at the same time, we are open. Because if you're not open to your brothers and sisters, guess what you're not hearing? You're not hearing any, hey, that may not really be the best thing you should be doing. And you're not getting those texts and calls saying, hey, I know you're struggling right now, but you've got this. God is with you, and I am lifting you up in prayer. You are not alone. How many times have you come to church, and we've sung the songs and said the prayers and read the Bible, and you walked away feeling just as empty as when you came in? That's not what walking in the light looks like. Walking in the light looks like, you know what? I'm not alone in this. I'm not alone in this because someone else knows my struggles. Someone else knows the areas of my life where I'm having a hard time putting the flesh to death. And they love me anyway. I'm struggling, but I have people who are walking with me. And we are laid bare before God in the light. You cannot lay your life bare before God in the light and hang on to that dark stuff. That dark stuff goes away. That's the point. The point is not for you and I just to come together and just accept one another's sin. The point is not, oh, that's what you're into? That's okay. That's not the point either. And Paul dealt with that in his letters to the church in Corinth. Here we go. He says, look, you've got some people in your body and they're just sinning and you people are okay with that. That's not what it's about. That's not walking in the light. Oh, you're into this sin. Well, okay, that's good. Oh, well, you're into that? All right, well, then, you know, no big deal. That's not walking in the light. Walking in the light is, you know what, I'm struggling with this right now. Okay, then we're praying for you. We are praying for you, and we're reaching out to you, and we are walking with you together. Feels very light. And my brothers and sisters, they know me, and I know them. And we don't know each other through our plastic smiles. Or the costumes that we kept from yesterday. We really know each other. And we love each other. And we accept each other because Christ has accepted us. That's what fellowship in the light of God truly looks like. And most of us are sitting here going, wow, I really want that. Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, it's ours. It's ours. Now we got to live it. Now we got to live it. So, we're encouraged today. We're encouraged today that having been raised with Christ in the heavenly places, your home is with Jesus. Where you live, where you eat, where you breathe, where you are forever is in the heavenly places with Jesus. Okay. All right. Since that's the reality, since that's who I am, what do I do? Walk by faith this week. Walk by the Spirit this week. And walk in the light this week. Church, we're just called to be who we've already been made to be. You are a beloved child of God. Your sins are forgiven in the blood of Jesus. Act like it. Act like it. And church, when we act like it, when we actually do these things that we are called to do, church is going to look different. Church is going to look a lot different. And guess what? People around us are going to notice differences. The world is not going to be able to say, oh, all it is darkness and gloom and horrible and terror and evil and nasty and ugliness. The world's going to start to say, have you seen these people over here? Something bright going on over here. What is that? What is that? That's who I want to be, and I know that's who you want to be. So God's already declared it. Let's be it. Let's be it. Let's have enough faith to actually live it. If you are not a Christian, we invite you to be baptized into Him. We invite you to receive this forgiveness and all the gifts and all the perks and everything good that comes along with it. And those of you that are baptized, those of you that have been placed in the heavenly places, act like it. Act like it. Live your faith. Live your faith. Be who God has already made you to be. You're big boys and girls, and big boys and girls don't wet the bed. Right? Big boys and girls don't cry. I mean, that one, they made a song about that one. So Christians don't live in fear. Christians are of good courage. Christians know that everything is in God's hands. Nothing will thwart His plans or defeat Him. Jesus is King. Let's get on board. If you need to respond this morning, let us know as we stand together and sing.
Good morning. We've got a couple of announcements. Just remember, continue to keep prayers for Becky Vickers and just her continued healing and all the sick and injured that are missing from today. Also, Oren's sister, prayers for her and for her area. They're still without power since last Monday, and best case scenario is they'll have power back on Tuesday-ish, maybe. So it's been about a week or so just continue prayers for them and their area. Thanks to all who helped yesterday with the trunk or treat. It seemed like a really big success, and I think all the little ones had a lot of fun. So thank you all for who participated. Again, just continued prayers for our wisdom and leadership for locally and nationally in the coming weeks and years. Just continue to keep that prayer, and also prayers for Oren in his job search, and that God would continue to provide for them as He has done so far. Were there any other announcements?
Remember all the Elums? Terry's sick.
He had young children in her house. So it's a big struggle for her.
Anything else? All right, if y'all will close with me in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this time you've given us together just to come and worship your name, and thank you for the many blessings you've given us and just the wisdom that you're able to impart on us. During this time of fellowship, pray that we, in the coming weeks and years, that we will walk in the Spirit, in your light, in your truth, and that we will have a desire in our hearts and minds to be set on you and the things above. Lift up all the prayers today with Oren and his job search, his sister in their power, and with Charlie, her new addition to their family, just that that goes well, and the Elams in their sickness. Also lift up Fern and Becky Vickers, that you continue to heal them, be with them, and with Gwinnett's arteries, that surgery will go well this week. And also with Connie Scarborough, that her cancer will continue to improve, and that all the children that she is fostering, that she will have the energy and strength and resolve to lift them up and raise them as you would have her do. I thank you for the time you've given us together, and I pray that our walk and our fellowship will just continue to grow, and that we will grow with you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.